We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game. Come on!
Good morning. Stephen Langford in with you as Anna Kagadakis has the day off. So I want you to join me. Chill, not a body text line, 957-95, 888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the conversation. Because obviously the big story coming out of last night is the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo had a bad three drives. And that's, I really don't know how much to make of it. And we'll discuss more. I mean, there were some positives that we could look for from yesterday. I think there are some certain aspects of the 49ers that I think we can look forward to into the season, even though a majority of what happened was against the backups in the second half. But what you want to see with these guys in the second half is them dominating the backups. But really with Jimmy Garoppolo, though, that was the main talking point. That had all the Twitter hot takers going out there saying he's not ready to be a starter. He's not. He needs more time. And you know what? Chill, not a body text line 957-95. If you felt like Jimmy Garoppolo should have gotten a little more playing time yesterday rather than just three drives where he went 1 for 6 with an interception, because let's look at this. Let's look at this at the bigger picture. You know. Let's look at this with the bigger picture here. Jimmy Garoppolo went 1 for 6 with an interception, his only completed pass being a screen. Okay? And it was an interception right at the beginning of the game, and it was within the first three drives. That kind of performance, now, probably not out of great quarterbacks, but that kind of performance, you'll see that sort of stuff in a regular game. And one thing that should give you hope, at least if you're a 49er fan, is that if you give him an entire game to work with, I don't think he would have continued on that track. I highly doubt that he would have been 3 for 18 with three interceptions by the time, I don't know, the first half is over. It's just, I do think, though, he maybe should have been out there for a couple of more drives. What I saw from him initially is that, well, for one, he was getting pressured. And we saw that, and we expected it, because obviously they're going up against the Denver Broncos. Oddly enough, Von Miller didn't start until the second quarter, which, I mean, I kind of felt bad for C.J. Beathard there. You think, oh, yeah, Von Miller, one of the better pass rushers in the league. Nah, he's just going to sit this game out, even though he did have pads on. And then you're thinking, in the second quarter, though, and so him and Bradley Chubb both were out there in the second quarter. But, I mean, Shelby Harris, by the way, former Raider, in case you didn't remember, I believe he was a draft pick, a later round draft pick, and he was just sticking his hand up and really batting any ball down that came his way. And really, so you saw Jimmy Garoppolo, he was kind of skittish, stepping back, dropping back, and then, I mean, really, you just saw what you would expect from a guy who hasn't really played since last September. And, you know, I think that right now it's way too, like, when's the last time you remembered a week 2 preseason game? I don't. The only preseason game I remember is week four with the Raiders against the Seahawks, and Derek Carr came out and he actually became the starter when everyone thought, was it Matt Flynn or Matt Schaub, one of the Matts, not Matt McGloin, but one of the Matts was going to be out there going as a starter with James Jones, I believe it was Matt Schaub, and Derek Carr went out and won the starting job in that preseason game. That's the only one I remember. Look, if he comes out in the next game against the Chiefs, who, quite frankly, do not have as good of a defense as the Denver Broncos, I think we will all forget about this. But, I mean, we do have to look at it, I guess, in that he did kind of look skittish. And you know what, though? I didn't really see at the beginning in these first few plays. Now, we got a couple of Tevin Coleman runs in there. Straight through the line, too. It wasn't just like a pitch to the outside, a toss to the outside, just screen passes. No, he was running like a feature back there. And really, that's all you needed to see of him. That's all Kyle Shanahan needed to see of him. But in the first few plays, though, it just seemed like the fact that there was pressure on him, it just really threw things off for Jimmy Garoppolo. And just going forward, I'm not too concerned about it, but I would have liked to have seen him get more work. And from the 925 on the Chill Not Nobody text line, 49er apologist. I'm a preseason apologist, if anything. I don't really take much into account after three drives because football is all about having short memory, right? It's a week-by-week game. And if you really think that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to continue on that pace of 1-for-6 with an interception, literally every ball that he had passed to him, the first four at least, were touched by a Denver Bronco.
Jimmy G still looking for a completion. Jimmy Garoppolo has thrown four passes. A Bronco has touched all of them.
That's from ESPN. And the Chill Not About It text line, we're already going nuts here. From the 925, Jimmy looked afraid to be hit, making bad decisions. You know, you would have hoped that he maybe would have avoided the pressure at least a little bit, use his feet. I mean, try and take those chops that he learned from Tom Brady in New England and really step up in the pocket and not really be afraid to step into a throw. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo, one of the things that's kind of made him a different sort of quarterback when he's in the game is the throws that he can make. He doesn't necessarily have to have that conventional step forward. You got your shoulder facing the receiver right there and directly. Sometimes he could throw off balance. And yesterday, it just seemed like, or last night rather, it seemed like everything he was throwing was off balance and he wasn't making any of those throws. So it was a different type of Jimmy Garoppolo that we've seen. I'm kind of all over the place right now because it's kind of got my mind baffled. But the main point I'm trying to make here is just it doesn't really worry me going into the season. Although I will say this, it's the offensive line struggles that worry me going into the season. That's really what concerns me right there. Because, I mean, if you're in there and you got Ben Garland, Najee Turan, who is an undrafted free agent, and you possibly have to start these guys at the center position and the guard position. Joe Staley did not look all that great. Coming out of the joint practices in Denver, there are reports that Joe Staley looked really good against the pass rush. And yesterday, it didn't really show. Bradley Chubb was manhandling people. Shelby Harris was just busting through the line. So really, it's going to be, for me, that offensive line, and I'm probably going to preach this for the next 51 minutes and 10 seconds, for the next 51 minutes of the show, is really going into the bye week, you're going to be going up against the Buccaneers, the Bengals, and the Steelers. And when you think about the Buccaneers and the Bengals, you're not exactly thinking about their quarterback, but when you look on the opposing side of the ball and you look at their defensive lines, the Buccaneers, they have Ndamukong Suh, who seems to, he hasn't really lived up to that Ndamukong Suh name that we've really given him, which was, you know, the best D tackle in the league. Aaron Donald's obviously taking him over for that, but Ndamukong Suh is still Ndamukong Suh, even though he wasn't what he used to be. Jason Pierre-Paul, still a very good player, even though he had some problems with fireworks. The Steelers, they always have a great defense either way, but they still got guys like Cameron Hayward, Bud Dupree, TJ Watt, who's an up-and-comer. And then, obviously, the Bengals, they still got a couple of guys in Geno Atkins. So, really, I think going forward, the first three games, you're not facing teams that are known to be very good. As a matter of fact, you're facing teams that quite a few people have as possibly being the worst in the NFL and that are going to go for that number one overall pick. But their defensive lines for those first 3 weeks before that bye week are the strong suit of those teams. And when you're going to be going out there, possibly not having Weston Richburg for who knows how long, and then, you know, you don't have Josh Garnett, you don't have any of these guys coming out that even count as depth. And now I think I'm kind of worried just going into the first 3 weeks of the season for the offensive line. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterbacks are so on and off, you know, because we tend to overreact to every single thing. And I'm trying to not overreact to a 1-for-6 performance, although he did have a zero passer rating. 0.0. I mean, that doesn't look good. That doesn't look good with anything. But my main question, seeing how the offensive line did, they also brought in Justin Skule, who was a 6th-round draft pick, and he was expected to be that guy that's supposed to come in for Sean Coleman, who was a swing tackle for McGlinchey or Staley, which either ones would not be in the game, and he would come in as a backup, Sean Coleman would. Well, Justin Skule, a 6th-rounder, went out there. He played a majority of the snaps for the 49ers, and in the second half, it was, you know, so-so. He was playing against backups, but in that first half, he did not look good. And so, I mean, you saw what Bradley Chubb did. They played it in slow-mo. That's the one highlight that went around Twitter. You know, when you're on Twitter and you're just surfing through it and you go to one video and you see a video of a guy like Aaron Donald, because we don't always recognize everything going on in the trenches because the game's moving so fast, but there's always that one video where they'll show like an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman just defecating on someone else, and Bradley Chubb really just manhandled Justin Skule, and that was the one Twitter video that went around. But there was another one too. Solomon Thomas did not exactly get a sack, so you won't see that on the stat sheet, but there are a couple of videos of him manhandling offensive linemen. Now, how much does that matter because he can't get to the quarterback? I don't know, but that should at least give you some hope that he was just treating these guys like they were just dolls. From the 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line, when will Niner fans admit they were trolled hard by Belichick? Really, until Garoppolo plays a full season. You got to be under that belief. And I understand you're probably Raider fans that are texting in with a lot of this right now, because seeing as what's been, like, seeing the narrative around Derek Carr and all that, Raider fans kind of take that to heart. And when you're seeing where Jimmy Garoppolo and all the praise that's been given to him, the national praise, it tends to, you just tend to find anything that's just, anytime he does a bad job, you're going to just feed into that, right? But really, we got to look at this at the bigger picture. You got to give him a full season. He probably should have had more drives, though. Chill not about your text line, 957-95, 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get in on this. Fun show we're having here on a Tuesday as Anna Kakanakis is out. Stephen Langford is in with you. And really, so my main question here is, do you think that in the long run, they should possibly trade C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins for some offensive line depth? 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Or is there other? C.J. Beathard, Nick Mullins, or other? Because right now what I'm seeing from the offensive line and seeing who got a majority of the snaps last night, I'm thinking they need to make some sort of move just to get some depth. Stephen Langford, 95.7 again.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagadakis.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. Man, going forward, just thinking about this Jimmy Garoppolo performance from last night, and there's also another story that kind of took precedent for the ESPN halftime show yesterday, and if you don't know what that is, well, I'm sure you can take a guess. I'll talk about that a little later in the show as well. But, you know, I'm just thinking forward, and we got a checks on the Chillin' Everybody text line, 95795, that made me think about this a little bit. But from the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Nick Mullins is better than Jimmy. Shouldn't have shot their load so early with paying Jimmy that crazy money without even playing half a season in the league. Now, you could take some of that text and think, yeah, they did front load his super expensive contract and he became one of the higher paid quarterbacks in the league up until just every quarterback started getting paid. He was him and Derek Carr were the highest paid quarterbacks for what, a day? I think Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphrey's marriage lasted longer than Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo's record breaking contracts. But he or she says Nick Mullins is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Here's what we have to establish, right? Jimmy Garoppolo's their guy. They're not going to put Jimmy Garoppolo on the bench, especially this year, because they're going a full season, right? If he stays healthy the entire time, they're at least going to get a good enough chunk of sample for how they'll view Jimmy Garoppolo. He is their guy right now. But if this texter says here that Nick Mullins is better than Jimmy Garoppolo, and knowing that Jimmy Garoppolo is their guy, and there's probably not a chance that he's going to be a starter, or not a chance that he's going to be on the bench, rather, and Nick Mullins isn't going to be a starter, but it's 5 in the morning. Give me a break. Do you think, though, that Nick Mullins has that high value and you should try and get some offensive line depth to help Jimmy Garoppolo? Because there are plenty of other teams out there who are looking for a solid backup quarterback. And I think if you throw C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins out there for however long, look, if Jimmy Garoppolo goes down, I don't think anyone's expecting playoffs anymore. There are a lot of people who do expect playoffs if Jimmy Garoppolo stays fully healthy, but if Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard come in, you're not expecting playoffs. So why would you care who your backup quarterback is? I'd say if you can get some sort of depth at the offensive line for either Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard, then I think they should do that, because it seems like they're going to put one or the other on the practice squad. And I'm just saying that you need that offensive line depth, because I'm not just putting everything on Jimmy Garoppolo. It was just the pressure that was just gotten against him, man. Everything that every play, it felt like he just didn't have a clean pocket. And speaking of, actually, you know, just to give some positives from this game, I thought the Niner defense looked great. I thought Robert Saleh looked buttoned up. He had the team organized. They were prepared and they were getting into the backfield and they were, you know, they were stopping the run real well, except for a couple of plays. The cornerbacks, it's not really, you know, the cornerbacks are still a questionable issue, but overall, I thought the 49er defense, as far as pressure in their front seven, I thought it looked good. the depth that they have at linebacker and defensive line, it's going to be tough for them to make some cuts. But if you think that Nick Mullins is better than Jimmy Garoppolo, look, if you bring in Nick Mullins, that's pretty much just saying, hey, we're going to throw away the season. We don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is good enough. This probably means, we're not going to try and make the playoffs. And I think that, man, if you can get some sort of depth at the offensive line, I know I sound like a broken record, but it's just something that's needed right now. I don't know. You can keep Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard both. Do you think about trading Jerick McKinnon, who can't seem to stay healthy, but other teams, they're also in need of running backs too? You know, and it's just, you need something with the offensive line. It's a team thing. And Garoppolo, he did not look good, and you want your great quarterbacks to look good against pressure, but coming off your first game off an ACL injury that you haven't played in September, you want to at least give him a little bit of protection, a little bit of something. And you could call me a Jimmy Garoppolo apologist or a 49er apologist if you know me. I never thought I'd be called that in my life, but I'm trying to look at this reasonably here. I'm trying to look at this reasonably. From the 408 and the Chilton Autobody text line, he's favoring that knee and doesn't want to get hit. What, do you think any quarterback wants to get hit? Just phrase that a little differently. I'm sure you mean something completely different. And from the 925, you sound so devastated that Jimmy G looked like garbage. I am devastated that people think that Nick Mullins is better than him. And if they do, they want to keep Nick Mullins and put him in instead of Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay. And you know what? I need to see it in the regular season. I just do, because it's preseason week two. We overreact to everything, and I don't remember a week two preseason game in my life. Sorry for yelling. It's 5:30 in the morning, and I'm pretty, pretty heated just over the overreaction, because it's just crazy what happens. Although, I will say this. I do think Kyle Shanahan should have kept him in for more than three drives, giving him a chance to redeem himself. But in the end, Kyle Shanahan just said, look, I've seen enough. And actually, here's Kyle Shanahan talking after the game.
Not much. I mean, the whole offense couldn't really get going. I had one chance. His turnover, we had a chance. It was longer developing route. We didn't hold up on it. I think he got hit as the ball was going, because it came out weird. He was going to the right spot with the ball, but couldn't protect long enough. The next one, 41 made a good play driving on it. He had two tips. That would have been to open guys. They're going to the right spot, but there were two tips. And but went out for a third series. We got that holding call on the second and 16. Led to a third and 16, and the day was over kind of before it started.
From the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. Now, this is actually a different story. From the 916, I think Shanahan's play calls early were horrible. No play action for Jimmy, no flow, and couldn't get a rhythm, but cleaned it up as the game went on. Yeah, you know, they ran a couple of runs coming out the gate with Tevin Coleman, who looked good. But also with that run, you want to use that play action, which is really why Nick Mullins had so much success. I mean, you could put it on Nick Mullins if you want, but Nick Mullins' success was highly attributed to Kyle Shanahan's play calling and him being able to get George Kittle wide open when no one really even thought to cover him, because they would just bit on the play action every time. The linebackers didn't know what to do when they got in the box and stacked up there. But, you know, there's the play calling, for sure. You didn't see just the what you figure would be that Kyle Shanahan type play calling, where you're getting just little chunk plays here and there and then going for a big gain. But again, there's just, in the end, he probably just didn't see the rhythm there. I'm sure that they'll fix something, because they're an NFL team and Kyle Shanahan is a good coach regardless. And you think about it, think about how long he's going to be around in the NFL. You look at guys like, I'm not saying he's anything. I'm just using Bill Belichick as an example, but I'm not saying he's going to be that. But Bill Belichick came in, and he's been there since, I mean, you look back at NFL films, he's been there since, what, the Browns and the Giants with Bill Parcells? These guys are around for a while. And I think that Also, we get a lot of this from the Chill Not Everybody text. I'm from the 408. Look at Derek Carr, MVP type season, gets injured, and now is a bottom tier QB. I'd be scared about Jimmy. You know, the Derek Carr thing is tough because you can for sure attribute some of that to his injury and being a little skittish because of his back, and also just sometimes playing hurt, which I didn't know why he did that. Because that was a combination of things. That was him also being scared, but that was also just him not having any consistency on the offensive coordinator side of the ball. But yeah, and you know what? It did make me nervous yesterday, though, watching this game, just seeing that Vic Fangio really did not throw anything out as far as disguises, blitzes, nothing crazy, too complicated when it came to defense. It really, you should have gotten positive plays on each of those plays, and you didn't. And that could worry some people, and they're going to be showing different stuff going into the regular season. I'm sure the Buccaneers are going to be showing different looks, different disguises, because their front seven's actually pretty good, as well as the Steelers and as well as the Bengals, too. But yeah, it's, you know, there's just, it's week two. Like, I don't know how anyone's just going to say he's done, not going to have a good season. You haven't seen him yet. And I think any just football fan should give these guys a chance at least. We were just so quick just to be done with these guys. Oh, wow. Time's actually kind of gone flying by. There is a story I did want to get into after the break. And that was one that showed up on the halftime show that overshadowed Jimmy Garoppolo's poor performance in the first half. We'll talk about that next. And if you know what that is, then you know what I'm about to talk about. Stephen Langford, in with you, 95.7 The Game.
To the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis.
Stephen Langford in with you as the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. I do want to talk about some positives that actually came out of the game yesterday, but I do want to take this call as we got Eric from Oakland. How you doing, Eric?
Hey, good morning. I think I heard you on Sunday, too. Are you on Sunday, like, afternoon?
You did hear me from 3 to 6 this Sunday, yes, sir.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm happy to hear you, man. The more of you, the merrier, I guess.
I appreciate it.
Anyways, man. I know today's going to be an overreaction, you know, Tuesday. Everybody's going to be, you know, be afraid and complain. I'm one of the guys. I'm kind of nervous. I'm not going to lie. But what I'm really more nervous about is the fact that the offensive line looks so bad. I mean, we have so many injuries. And my question now for the whole season is, are they going to be able to protect Garoppolo? I mean, obviously, he's kind of nervous back there. You can see he's not planting on his back foot, and he doesn't know where, you know, the defense is coming from the most part.
Right.
But I'm not a person to study film, so I guess on film, I want to see if he made the right beats. You know, that's the most important part for me as far as he's concerned. And then the other thing is, next week when he plays, I assume that he's going to play at least one half. And if he does play that one half and he doesn't do well, do they push him into the third quarter against the second strings and the third strings just to kind of get some kind of rhythm, assuming that he's not going to play the last game? Because, you know, against first-string players, he looked really rusty. But I was kind of hoping to see him play against the second-stringers a little bit just to kind of get his beak wet, you know what I mean?
Right.
Get some flow, get something. But we didn't see that yesterday. Thanks for taking my call.
Actually, Eric, stick right there. Are you still there?
Okay.
Yeah. So with the offensive line, do you think, though, that – do you think anyone like Nick Mullins, maybe C.J. Beth, or even Jerick McKinnon, they should trade them to somebody who will give them some offensive line depth?
Oh my God, that'd be brilliant. I mean, I would trade C.J. Beathard just because I like Nick Mullins from last year. I think the kid has some moxie.
Right.
Jerick McKinnon, we don't know what we're going to get from him, though. He hasn't played. He hasn't even put the uniform on yet. So
exactly.
What could we possibly get that's worth the value?
Yeah, I have no idea, but I feel like some people or some teams out there, rather, would at least like a running back, you know what I mean? But thanks a lot for calling, Eric, and call back anytime, 888-957-9570 if you want to give your thoughts on anything going on with the Niners. But I think he echoed a lot of sentiments. He said he's trying not to put too much stock into week two because it's week two of the preseason, but also the offensive line depth is really what made him nervous about last night's performance, and I think that a lot of people would echo that sentiment. But I do want to get into some positives because there were some positives that came out of the game, and here was one of them.
Here is Deebo Samuel, good-looking rookie out of South Carolina, as he turns it on and dives for the pylon. And this was the juice that they said they love in Deebo Samuel, the rookie out of South Carolina. This is where they've struggled in recent years, red zone touchdowns. And trying to solve that right away is Jeff Wilson Jr., and he does. Last year, they were last in the NFL. Only 41% when they got to the red zone did they have a touchdown. And here they go straight ahead with Wilson Jr.
The big gain by Deebo Samuel on that little end around. I mean, the dude's got speed, and then Jeff Wilson ended up taking it in for the touchdown. And Jeff Wilson, now for me, I don't know about you Raider fans, but last year when Chris Ward was out there, the running back from Texas, I legitimately thought he had a chance at really making an impact on the team because we didn't know what we were going to see at the running back position. And Jeff Wilson is kind of that guy, except he was already, of course, on the practice squad last year and then got called up when the running backs went down, when either Breida or Mostert went down because they were just dropping like flies and they needed to bring him in. But Jeff Wilson reminds me a lot of that. Just that guy who's a thumper who really he runs standing up straight, and he'll get down and he runs up, and kind of like Latavius Murray, if I'm going to keep making Raider running back comparables. And he really runs hard, and he's that red zone type of guy. I don't know if Jeff Wilson's going to be a guy who might make the team. It all depends if Jerick McKinnon comes back, but one guy who I do want to see in as much as possible is Deebo Samuel. And from the 925, Denver's number twos are really weak. That may be true, but you can't knock the athleticism of Deebo Samuel and going into that week one game, even when you saw that contested catch that he made. Like, that's not a type of catch that it doesn't matter, second stringer, third stringer, fourth stringer, what have you. It doesn't matter. That catch that Deebo Samuel made there was something that's not really all that common among wide receivers coming into the league after the second round, being drafted in the second round. And I think that, oh yeah, shout out ESPN for the audio, by the way. I think that you need to get Deebo Samuel in as much as possible because I see him having more. I like Jalen Hurd, and I think that he's going to be a great fit for a guy who can come in the slot every now and then. But as far as just having a guy you can throw in there for any play at any position, I think Deebo Samuel is going to have a big impact on this offense going forward into the season. Maybe not at the start, but who knows what could happen after the bye week, going from week five up until week, well, I mean, you can call it 17 since there's a bye week in 16 games. So, yeah, 5 until 17. That's going to be the time when Deebo Samuel, you're going to see, I think, him get involved in the offense a lot more because you saw what the offensive line did yesterday, and you're going to have to draw out plays where you don't rely fully on your offensive line just to make the blocks, and it's all stems from the trenches. Most plays do stem from the trenches, but Kyle Shanahan's going to have to play call against that. And from the 925 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Booger McFarland and Tessitore are horrible. I hope they don't call regular season Monday night games. Well, they are, and I think Tessitore is really good. I think he makes things exciting, and personally, I like Booger McFarland.
I think it's great getting the opinion of a guy. I know a lot of people aren't big fans of the Monday Night Football broadcast, but I think Booger McFarland just he brings something unconventional to the broadcast personally that I enjoy, and I think it's funny. I watch sports to learn, but I also do watch sports for entertainment, and when Booger McFarland tries to entertain, he entertains for sure. That's just me, though. That's just me. You can definitely, I think a lot of people, not a lot of people, but I've seen quite a few texts like that. Quite a few texts like that. But some other positives, though. One guy that's coming off the defensive line, and look, this defensive line, they're supposed to be really good, right? You got DeForest Buckner, you got Dee Ford. You don't know when Nick Bosa is coming back, though. And you're going to have to rely on Eric Armstead and Solomon Thomas. Okay, but you also need some depth there. And what Kentavious Street showed us yesterday is that he's come back from his injury and he could be a serviceable backup if he actually makes the team and they really make the right decision. I think it would be the right decision to keep Kentavious Street in because he had a couple of sacks yesterday, and I think that the depth that he can bring to the defensive line on one that's really right now, they look like they're going to be healthy week one, but with Dee Ford and Nick Bosa, you never know. I'm not saying Dee Ford's going to be injured for the entire season like last year, but he's had some problems since coming to the league in 2014 where he's maybe had to take 1 or 2 weeks off. It's not an extended period of time, but it's going to be a time when a guy like Kentavious Street can come in and then just provide that depth and make you feel comfortable with at least bringing in a backup, because that's what you want, right? You want backups that at least make you feel like safe, I guess, just ones that you want to come in. Like Nick Mullins, I think a reason a lot of people like Nick Mullins, it's because of what he did last season, but really in the back of their minds, it's because they feel safer with Nick Mullins backing up Jimmy Garoppolo if Jimmy Garoppolo were to go down than C.J. Beathard. That's a big reason why they like Nick Mullins more. Plus, he obviously put up more stats, but I also think that was a lot of it was due to Kyle Shanahan's play calling. From the 808 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, looks like Coleman is the starter. And from the 925, first team D struggled to get off the field on third down without allowing points. One guy I also want to give credit to is the punter, Mitch Wishnowski. He's out there. He's the kickoff specialist. And they touched it back for most of the time that he was in. The guy can punt, too. And I think that going into the draft, people were a little questionable after they drafted a punter in the fourth round and they drafted a couple of wide receivers in the second and third round. So a lot of 49er fans were out there wondering what the heck John Lynch was doing. But I think that he's going to be a pretty valuable asset. And if, like Eric in Oakland, you heard me on Sunday from 3 to 6, I was just fawning over the guy because read an article about him earlier where he comes from Australia, obviously, and he comes from Australian League rules or Australian rules football. And he came from this punting tree of Australian guys that are a part of this clinic, and they're all punters. And one of them being the guy from the Seahawks, can't remember his name, but he's an all-pro punter in his first year. He was an all-pro punter in his first year. So I think Mitch Wishnowski has some promise. That's just one guy that I'm going to mention from the rookies. I'm trying to mention any positives that I can. But as far as depth goes, I think the 49ers, they in the second half, they showed their stuff, man. I really do think so. From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Mike and Vallejo, as a Raider fan, I forgot Joe Flacco was in Denver now, and that made me smile. Hey, Joe Flacco, he seemed happy. He legitimately seemed thrilled to be there because the only people that he has to back him up, the only guys that he has to back him up right now are what? Drew Locke and Kevin Hogan. I don't think those guys are going to be taking over for Joe Flacco, who had Lamar Jackson waiting in the entire season. It cannot feel good as a starting quarterback especially one like Joe Flacco, who won them a Super Bowl and who had been one of their leaders. It can't feel good to have a guy come in and basically the entire season, Eli Manning's about to go through this with the Giants, have a backup come in, and then the entire season, fans and writers and analysts are going to be saying you need to start this guy over this guy, this veteran, this young guy over this veteran. And I think, yeah, but Joe Flacco, Denver, we'll see. Denver, if you're a Raider fan, you have seen some interesting quarterbacks come out of Denver. Some interesting quarterbacks come out of Denver. From the 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line, who has a higher ceiling, Samuels or Jacobs? I think Samuel, man. I really do. I think Jacobs, and I'm going to assume you're talking about Josh Jacobs. I think there's going to be a lot put on his plate, and he's going to the ceiling for Josh Jacobs, I think, right now is it's really I don't know what it is. I mean, he's only been in for a couple of drives in his NFL career. He still needs to play in a regular season game. But with Samuel, I've at least seen him make some plays that are different, that are something you don't see regularly out of a wide receiver. So if I'm going to answer that now, I'd probably say Samuel just because of what I've seen from these two preseason games. But Jacobs, Jacobs is just, for me, it's I don't know. I don't know what to think. He's going to be the feature back, so a lot more is going to be put on his plate, and then there's going to be a lot more pressure on Jacobs. I could be wrong, but I really don't know who has a higher ceiling between the two. But going forward, man, I think that I'm going to reiterate this because this is what we started the show with. But Jimmy Garoppolo, though, going 1-for-6 with an interception. No, he did not look poised in the pocket. No, he did not step into his throws at all. He did not align with his receivers. He did seem the plays that they were drawing up, it seemed that they were just making quick throws. And Shelby Harris, you got to give him credit for actually getting that hand up, because Jimmy Garoppolo probably hasn't seen that. Jimmy Garoppolo has not seen that the entire time in training camp, and he hasn't had any work since September. And he probably forgot, oh yeah, defensive linemen can actually put their hand up. I don't just have to throw it just right over their heads. From the 808 on Chill Nobody text line, Debo got robbed on the end around for a TD. That ball was in bounds and past the pylons. That's a good question. I'm not sure. And then from the 707, of course you do. The SF bias is unreal. I mean, do you know me? I mean, you gotta meet me to understand the bias. Where the bias is, there's not exactly bias anymore. But there used to be. There used to be. Man, going forward, though, I think there's a high ceiling for Debo Samuel. Now, we saw what Raheem Mostert gave us. I think most of us can assume that, like, we know what Raheem Mostert and Matt Breida are going to be, and those two are guys who are backups who, quite frankly, can't stay on the field. Although, I got to give a lot of credit to Matt Breida, though. He did have 1,000 all-purpose yards, over 1,000 all-purpose yards last year, both rushing and receiving. But I still think, though, that Tevin Coleman is probably going to be that feature back. But, I mean, this type of touchdown, though, I mean, it's the type of thing that gives you a little bit of hope, right?
And Mostert again as he picks up a block and will take it all the way. Good-looking drive by the Niners. 30-yard touchdown run, Raheem Mostert.
Shout out ESPN for the audio. Okay. There is a story I do want to get to, though, and Chilton Autobody text line 95795. It's going to get you riled up a little bit. But this Antonio Brown thing, now he's filing a second grievance with the NFL to try and get this helmet in place. Now that means that they are going to put an arbitrator on the case. I've been on Antonio Brown's side for most of this because
I've said from the beginning, look, if he just wants to play in a helmet, which Drew Rosenhaus explained yesterday on Get Up, he's been playing with pretty much the entirety of his football life, dating all the way back to peewee football. If he wants to play with that, then fine. The NFL should just let him, because if he's going to cause this much of a ruckus about it, if he says that he will file a lawsuit if he gets injured using one of these new helmets, I'm just saying, like, the NFL should have just caved in. It's really just a battle of ego between both Antonio Brown and the NFL right now, because the NFL is scared to be like the NBA, where the players have some power. And the NFL's like, look, Antonio Brown, we gave you enough power by basically dictating where you're going to go. We just let you not even play in that Week 17 game against the Ravens that could have had playoff implications. We didn't even do anything about that. We let you go crazy on social media so that you can get a new contract. So the NFL, they're just like, at this point, when Antonio Brown found that loophole, I was still on his side at this in this instance, and he found a loophole. They were just like, oh man, all right, we got to find another way just to not let this guy take advantage of the NFL and its rules. And now it just seems like the NFL is not backing down, and it's going to affect his actual career this season. And just for the sake of Derek Carr, I'm not really on the NFL's side with this. I'm more on Gruden and Carr's side with this. Because Carr, it's not like a defensive lineman where, or a defensive end, D-tackle, what have you. It's not like that, where they can just hold out in the season or up until the season starts, then get back in and get right into the swing of things, because all they got to do is really take on one-on-ones with big old offensive tackles and guards, or take on double teams. But you got to get some chemistry with the new quarterback that you're getting right now. And I think that I'm more on just Carr and Gruden's side with this, because they're just wondering what the hell is happening. And I think that just Antonio Brown needs to, at this point, respect what his team is trying to do, and really respect why they brought him in. And I understand a lot of you on the Chilton Autobody text line are saying he doesn't respect the team. He's a me guy. And you know what? You're probably right. But also, though, that doesn't negate the fact that he needs to just get on the same page with both Gruden and Carr. Also from the 925, I didn't talk about this, but why is nobody talking about Cedric Benson? Yeah, rest in peace, Cedric Benson. That was tough. Passed away at 36. He was a good running back. Good running back with the Bengals, and I believe Texas was the college that he went to. And yeah, Cedric Benson was a good running back. You never like hearing about that sort of stuff. But rest in peace to him. And from the 719, here we go. We got analogies for this Antonio Brown thing. I made an okay one, I think, yesterday, if you listen to the pregame show regularly from 5 to 6. From the 719, I heard a great analogy about it yesterday. As a contractor myself, I have my own tools that I like, and if someone tries to make me use a different tool, it's awkward. I have issues performing at the same level. The helmet is AB's tool. I mean, for me, I'm not a contractor. Shout out to you. Stay safe out there. But for me, I look at it like I'm used to driving my Subaru, right? I got a Subaru Outback. 05. It's sick. It's got 22-inch rims on it. No, I'm just playing. Just playing. It doesn't exactly. No, they're tens. They're tens, though. But I look at it like this. If I have my Subaru Outback and I'm used to the vision I have in the blind spot of my Subaru, right? I'm comfortable with it. I've been using it really since the start of my driving career. And then I use my friend's Chrysler 300 when I have to drive him because he's drunk. I use his blind spot. I use his blind spot, and I'm looking back and I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? That's not bad. That the vision on that blind spot's not bad, but I'm not used to it. And I want to go back to my Subaru, my 05 Subaru, instead of using that Chrysler 300, which is a faster car. You know, so I look at it that way. It's just I see where Antonio Brown's coming from, but it's just at this point, it's just a battle of the NFL being like, hey, Antonio Brown, you've done enough to dictate what you're doing with the league. We're not going to let you dictate something that 2,000 other players are okay with doing. It's a weird, weird situation. I can't believe he filed a second grievance, but it took the shot. It took the spotlight at halftime for that ESPN halftime show. And Rex Ryan said it's the gift that keeps on giving and then proceeded to get mad about it. You ever get mad at a gift that keeps on giving? Normally you're pretty happy when you get a gift that keeps on giving. And Rex Ryan seemed to be pretty angry about getting a gift that keeps on giving in this Antonio Brown story. The veterans of the NFL, the old heads, the old school guys, can't imagine what they're saying about this entire thing right now. Can't imagine what they're saying. And from the 530, Steven, you like Booger because he's awkward and clumsy on the air, just like you. Right on. I mean, if I'm like Booger McFarland, all right. I guess I'm the Booger McFarland of 95.7 The Game, if I had to put a label on it. All right, coming up, we're going to have Joe Lowe and Coase. I'm sure they're going to have everything you want to hear about the Niners going forward. Thanks for sticking around with me this morning. Anna Kakaki's with me next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.